This is our number
two. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. We are also streaming our Fastest 15 today on Facebook Live. Welcome! Man, this is a big deal that great enthusiasm, optimism about a trade deal with China.
I'm just getting some details on it. You want them?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so it says the U.S. is suspending a tariff hike on $250 billion in Chinese imports, which was set to take effect next week on Tuesday. China has agreed to buy $40 billion to $50 billion in U.S. farm products. And basically, they've reached a ceasefire in their 15-month trade war. And already earlier today, investors were really excited about the possibility. The Dow ended up 319 points at 26,816.
Yeah, this is... I tell you what, I'm going to play a lot of cuts for you, the listener, in the big lead at two. But last night they had a Democrat candidate forum on CNN, and Trump had a rally in Minneapolis. And the contrast was staggering between the two sides. And we've got, if he has been successful after decades of the United States just getting walked all over by China, I think you're going to have four more years, whether you like it or not. But you got to listen. Wait till you hear the audio that I'm going to play in the big lead at two. It's going to blow your mind. So we'll get to all of those things. What Nicole? Nicole said mouth words to me, and I couldn't read her lips.
I was just going to say, do the China stuff first.
Yeah, we have China stories in the Fastest 15. Before I get to that, can I be vulnerable for a second?
Of course.
So, I'm just in agony.
I know.
Today, I'm just in absolute agony, and I've been trying to hold off on knee replacement for reasons my wife cannot fathom. And I got stem cell a few years ago, and that did great. And you know, I was trying to just manage it for another. I wanted to manage it for another 5 years or so. But, oh, my gosh. So I talked to Pete Carroll off the air because he had knee replacement. Because he's just so positive about everything.
And, yes.
And I said...
And that guy jumps around.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, he had a good... When that uh-huh. field goal went wide right, he went sprinting down the sideline. And I have such a mental hurdle and an emotional hurdle about replacing my knee. Because it's been a wonderful knee for most of my life. And it's allowed me to do so many things athletically that I've loved. But I can't do them on this.
No.
So I asked Pete. He was so funny. I go, so I just asked him, did you have emotional hurdle to clear? When, you know, they're going to cut out this thing that allowed him to be a great athlete when he was young. And he goes, no, absolutely not. Just need to get it done. And then he goes, I'll tell you where you have to go. Do you have a good surgeon? I go, yeah. He goes, you got to go to this place in California. He told me the name of the doctor, and he goes, best in the country. Told me about a mutual friend of his and mine who went there. And then he goes, they have a one-year backlog. It'll take you over a year to get in there.
I don't know that you can even do a year.
Then he said,
our listeners have seen the pained look on your face.
Then he said, if you want to go there, give me a call. I'll get you right in. How's that for a friend? I know.
Lucky.
You know what's funny is that, I mean, I've brought up the knee thing a couple times, and I get shut down. He says he's not emotionally ready, but Pete brings up hooking him up with the doctor, and
well, that and excruciating
he's considering
pain
right
it now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, but you know, Pete's a guy.
Hey, I'll take it. I would have called Pete a long time ago had I known he was going
to
motivate you.
I'm not going to listen to my wife. I'm not going to listen to you.
I know.
That's lame.
But,
I should have called Pete.
I'm lame. Literally, I'm lame.
Yes.
Okay, so we were just talking about China, the trade deal. Couple other stories here in the Fastest 50. Oh, so anyway, if you have a knee replacement advice for me, you can text us at 98973.
Which multiple people have done for months now, seeing you in here. But they all say that you'll be surprised at how much you can do.
I need to get an endorsement deal for a knee replacement. That's what I got to do. I don't have enough. I don't have enough endorsements for crying out loud. Okay. Steve Kerr is the wonderful coach of the Golden State Warriors. But, man, he has come out of this NBA China thing just absolutely with his reputation so tarnished. Because Steve Kerr is a real far-left social justice warrior. And he speaks out all the time about his support for gun control. He can't stand Donald Trump. And the Warriors are playing in China, as are several NBA teams this preseason. And so they asked him about the NBA China controversy, because an NBA general manager who supported Hong Kong and independence, China now is not going to televise any of the NBA games there. They are taking NBA merchandise off Alibaba, the Amazon of China. So, but listen to Steve Kerr's response when he was asked about all the China controversy with the NBA.
It has not come up in terms of people asking me about it, people discussing it. No. Nor has our record of human rights abuses come up either. You know, things that our country needs to look at and resolve, that hasn't come up either. So none of us are perfect, and we all have different issues that we have to get to. And saying that is my right as an American doesn't mean that I hate my country. It means I want to address things, right? But people in China didn't ask me about, you know, people owning AR-15s and mowing each other down in a mall. I wasn't asked that question. So we can play this game all we want and go all over the map and, you know, there's this issue and that issue, and the world is a complex place and there's more gray than black and white.
What a despicable thing to say, to draw some moral equivalence between the United States and China. And then he's willing to speak out about AR-15s and mowing people down in a mall, but still would not say anything about China, which has executed over a million of their people. They have millions sitting in prisons and prison camps as we speak. They execute more people every year than the rest of the world combined. And Steve Kerr still, because of money, because the NBA wants to protect the billions in revenues that they're cultivating in China, he does his whataboutism, and he still won't say anything about China's human rights abuses, which are among the worst in the world. And then he goes off on another screed about guns in the United States. So it's disgusting to draw some moral equivalence between communist China and the United States of America. And then right after this, the NBA, because all the players are getting asked, all the coaches are getting asked, and the NBA announced that they are suspending media access to all coaches and players for the rest of the China trip.
Right.
And a lot of journalists were sent over there to cover this, mm-hmm. and now they're not going to get any access to anybody to talk about anything. And it's really amazing. It's all about the money. China's red, but the money is green over there. And you know who's going to fix all this, though?
Who?
Dennis Rodman.
Of course.
Commissioner Adam Silver, I know a thing or two about diplomacy. Book me a ticket to Shanghai with you, Ambassador Rodman.
You know, he already fixed North
he's
Korea.
He's promoted himself to Ambassador Rodman.
Rodman. Yeah, so good for him. Closer to home, Channel 4 had a great piece last night on crime in Seattle. And they, you know, after their Seattle is dying, they are now doing more pieces on what has happened here. And I think Eric Johnson, their main anchor, is a fantastic writer. I want him to do my obit.
I
want to outlive him.
I have honestly said he is the best writer in this market.
And I thought that was on display.
He puts his heart into it. So it's like it's very... He gets very vulnerable in it, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He and I go way back. He was working for a Spokane the King 5 affiliate in Spokane. And when we went to the Calgary Olympics in 1988, and I was there for the whole 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and Eric was there, and we were roomies. We had the same nice. The Olympic.
He seems like a cool guy.
In the media village. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. But this is a great piece about the Asian food store, the Chinatown store, Uwajimaya, which does not even report shoplifting, and they are getting obliterated. And, I mean, this was just... It was a great piece, but it also shows Seattle is indeed dying.
In 2018, Uwajimaya virtually stopped reporting any theft cases. That's in spite of the fact that they continue to be decimated by theft.
I would say thousands a week, which add up to tens of thousands every month, every few months.
That's the store manager, though.
So why stop reporting? Well, hardly anything ever happens when they do report. These are pictures of people walking out of the store with armloads of stuff. For many who steal from Uwajimaya, it's not shoplifting anymore. It's just shopping.
I thought that was a great line. And they did. They had all, just picture after picture. People just go in. They fill bags, grocery bags. They just have armloads of meat and groceries. They walk in. They load up as much as they can carry. And they walk out. And but that was
so frustrating.
That line was so great. For them, it's not shoplifting. It's just shopping. But what an absolute shame. Because they're not going to be able to stay open. Grocery stores have such thin margins to begin with. Specialty food store like Uwajimaya, I'm sure, is on a thin margin.
And that the CEO of Uwajimaya was on Candy, Mike, and Todd a couple of weeks ago talking about this. And she said... You know, initially, they were not going to report because they just said it takes too long to get there. But police still want them to report it just so that it's documented.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just absolutely crazy.
Sad.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. But another nice job over there at Channel 4 as they continue to chronicle all of the problems. Up next in the Fastest 15, Justin Trudeau. Is back in the news, and that's because, you know, he had all those blackface scandal things going on. Where's my Justin Trudeau audio, Nicole?
It's right here. Sorry. It's going to be at the top here.
Okay. All right. Justin Trudeau, you know, his thing at parties was, my thing was always when I was younger, I'd go as a baseball player because I always had a, you know, glove and a jersey. For Justin Trudeau,
you'd go real creative.
Yeah, for Justin Trudeau, he would always just put on the blackface and do the, even into his 30s, he would put on the blackface. So he was at a forum, and two little preschool girls got up. One was African American, or not?
No, they
were twins.
They're twins.
They're twins. Okay. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know they were twins.
Yeah, they were twin girls.
Look at how stupidly politically correct my language is. They're Canadian, and I'm calling them African-American. That's stupid. That's how brainwashed we've become, that we have to use certain words. They're not American. Sorry I started to say they're African-American. I remember this. The Olympics, the Summer Olympics, a few years ago.
Yeah.
The first ever black person to win a swimming medal was from a Caribbean nation.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC Sports was covering the Olympics, and they said that he was the first African-American to ever win a swimming medal. He was neither African nor American. He was black and from the Caribbean, so we're just brainwashed. So anyway, these two black Canadian girls, preschoolers, they got up to ask Justin Trudeau a question.
Do you want to stand up and ask a question?
What did you paint your face down?
Ooh, it was something I shouldn't have done because it hurt people. It's not something that you should do. And that is something that I learned. I didn't know it back then, but I know it now. And I'm sorry I hurt people.
But did you paint your nose and your hands brown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. I remember I called him blackface shellac.
I know, but I feel like that was... stage to give him another chance to
felt like they were told what task.
It wasn't
of course,
just spontaneous.
But then I don't even think he answered it very well in preschool language.
He's one of the phoniest human beings I've ever seen. And he scolds America all the time for our social failings while he dresses up in blackface himself. I mean, he's just a phony hypocrite. We will probably have some audio coming up for you. Donald Trump is talking right now about this deal with China. And this is a big, big deal. So we'll have that audio for you coming up in a little bit here on the Dory Monson Show. Finally, in the Fastest 15, we were talking about a few days ago, last Sunday, in fact, Ellen DeGeneres was in a luxury suite at the Dallas Cowboys game chatting and laughing with George W. Bush. And she got bombarded. And, you know, I know you and I had a little disagreement, Ursula, because I think this is almost exclusively from the left. And I think this actually is proof of that, because there are literally tens of thousands of posts on social media blasting Ellen DeGeneres for being nice and friendly with George W. Bush. I couldn't find one thing, and I did a big search last night, of anybody blasting George W. Bush for being nice to Ellen. Nobody on the right said to Bush, "Why are you talking to her?" But everybody on the left is saying, "Why are you talking to him?" And so she had this thing. We all agreed it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she said that, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but here's a little bit of what she said in response to this.
But during the game, they showed a shot of George and me laughing together. And so people were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? Didn't even notice I'm holding the brand new iPhone 11. And,
okay, and then at the end, I thought this was just very nice of her.
Tweeze more. And I have, but just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone.
Okay.
Well, 100% agree.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, people on the left still do not agree. In a scathing op-ed, some on the left, in a scathing op-ed for Vanity Fair, writer Laura Bradley says that by being nice to George W. Bush and her comments afterwards explaining it, that she has betrayed her LGBT allies by publicly displaying friendliness with George W. Bush and then using the moment to deliver a message about unity. She says that Bush was the man whose resume includes the invasion of Iraq and the federal response to Hurricane Katrina. And it's just this long screed about how vile Ellen is now because she was friendly to somebody she disagrees with politically and then talked about it afterwards. Just, these are interesting times. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we will give you the world. I have an amazing story right after Ursula's newscast. The prosecutor in Island County, you know, Whidbey Island, he posts absolutely vile things about Republicans, about Trump supporters. I don't think he can be objective in his job as a prosecutor, but you know what? He's going to talk to me about it next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, somebody who we talked about a couple of months ago is back in the news. Island County Prosecutor Greg Banks, who on social media posted a tax chart that shows that the marginal tax rate is much lower in 2019 than it was back in the 1950s. And he captioned it, "Dear Republicans, shut the F up already." And several people who live in Island County sent this to me. And so let me welcome to the show the author of that brief post, Island County Prosecutor Greg Banks. Greg, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Hi, Dory. Thanks for having me.
Okay. You were in a controversy a few months ago because of some social media posts, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And just to recap, you'd posted three people in KKK hoods and robes alongside a MAGA hat. Reminder, always wash MAGA hats separately, it said. It was a meme. And you said all the people who support Donald Trump are racist bullies with second grade intellects and behavior disorders. And you had to apologize to your staff after those posts, correct?
Yeah, I don't think I said all the people, but at any rate, I did, and I took responsibility for that. I think that was going too far. I mean, I'm like a lot of people, and we got on social media, we repost these memes, and I had to step back and say, you know, it's easy to click a button and put that stuff out there, but, and as I explained to my staff, and I talked to one of your colleagues on a competing station and explained that, yeah, I was wrong, and I don't hold all people in that regard. I have family members that are supporters of Donald Trump, and I have colleagues that are supporters of Donald Trump, and they're fine people.
Okay,
I had to eat my words there.
The one you just posted, "Dear Republicans, shut the F up already."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it a little problematic when somebody who's in government tells half the population they should shut up and not talk about issues like taxation?
Well, I don't think that's what I was telling half the population.
You were. You said Republicans shut the F up.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, I intended that to be directed at the Trump administration and the Republican Congress people that jammed this tax cut through that benefits the wealthy. And the claim that these high tax rates kill the economy, I thought that graph was a really good data visualization of the fact that through some of our country's most prosperous years, the tax rates were significantly
okay,
higher.
Do you think we have a good economy today?
People, they're just lying when they say that's...
Do you acknowledge we have a great economy right now?
I think the economy is in pretty good shape. There's
tax cuts may have helped that.
About some aspects of it, manufacturing has slowed down significantly, and the farmers are really taking it in the short.
I don't want to talk tax policy with you. I don't either.
I'm not a tax. I mean, you know, I'm no expert in tax policy either.
Here's my concern, Greg. It is my absolute belief after seeing these posts that if a Republican or a Trump supporter was in the system in Island County, there is no way they could get a fair shake from you. What do you say to that?
I say that's not correct. First of all, so you're talking about someone who's been charged with a crime. First of all, I don't know what anybody's, we don't ask people who'd you vote for, what's your party, and I would never really know that, but the charges we make are based on the evidence, and then they're reviewed by a judge. I mean, when we file charges, the very first thing we do is put it in front of a judge to review a police officer's report to determine whether there's probable cause to pursue the charge.
But you have great discretion as a prosecutor in when to file charges. And what I've seen around the country, Greg, is the weaponization of prosecutors' offices. So we've seen it where in Philadelphia, where George Soros backed a prosecutor candidate with disastrous results for the people there. And you could decide to go zealously after a Republican Trump supporter and go easy on a leftist who shares more of your political ideology, couldn't you?
I couldn't personally. I suppose someone in the prosecutor's office, if they were unethical, they could do that. I'm an equal opportunity prosecutor.
But you're
I really
clear.
Don't care what people's politics are.
But you clear. Yeah. Well, yeah, you do. You post on social media that Republicans should shut the F up. You posted a Trump supporter hat with a KKK hood and robe. You obviously care what somebody's politics is.
Well, I separate my personal beliefs from how we run the office here, and you're welcome to talk to anybody that works for me, regardless of what their politics are, and see what they think about it.
They felt so bad about the posts earlier this year, you had to apologize to them. So, I mean, we've heard
bad.
From the people in your office.
I'm not going to speak for the folks in my office, pretty much without exception, those who responded to my email said that they never had any inclination that there was any downside to either working here or that they'd ever seen anything unethical in the charging decisions we're making. So, it was a fair point, though. I acknowledge that. Those posts that were the subject of the earlier story, they were wrong because they were personally impugning the character of people based on their politics. And
But
you know, I fell into that crap in social media, and I really am trying, and I think successfully, not to do that. I'm not saying.
Well, no, I mean, this latest post was this week, wasn't it? The shut the F up.
Well, who's? I don't think I.
It's on your Twitter
attacked
account.
Attacked anybody's character or their personality.
No, you're a government.
I told the Republican
you're a government official telling
that they're lying when they say that high taxes are crushing the economy
because the historical
precedent shows otherwise.
You're a governmental figure who's telling Republicans, which make up 46% of the country, that to shut the F up, it's in entirety. Dear Republicans, shut the F up already. So if somebody who believes in tax cuts came before you and you have discretion on whether to charge them, you would not treat them any differently.
No, I don't know how I would know their tax positions. But, I guess I should have said Republican leaders. But these are the people that made the decision and rammed this tax cut through.
But basic question, Greg. You sound like a nice guy. I like talking to you.
Thanks. You do too, Dory.
Why do you do this? Why? I mean, as a prosecutor, as somebody who it is your mission to be perceived as a fair person, why do you post KKK pictures and tell Republicans to shut the F up? Why? What do you get out of that?
So I just want to separate the two. And I acknowledge that was wrong. The posts that went after the character of people I don't know because they belong to a group was wrong. Why do I do that? You know, I think that's a good question for the age, and I think that's one of the ways that social media is causing all of us in our discourse to just sort of be decayed and we've lowered ourselves. And I'm not a victim. I participated, and
right.
It was wrong.
But I just think it shows an appalling lack of judgment when a prosecutor puts his politics so obviously out there, and whether it's true or not that you treat people fairly, you've created a perception that you cannot, and I don't understand why you would do that.
I guess partly because I'm outraged by the current direction that the administration has taken the country, and I'm sure you and I could probably talk about that for hours. Let me just say one more thing.
Sure.
I mean, in Washington State, they chose to make the office of the prosecuting attorney a partisan office. In fact, prosecutors had asked the legislature to make it nonpartisan, and the legislature said, no, we'd like our prosecutors to be affiliated with a party. I don't make decisions in the prosecutorial context based on party, and I defy you to find any case anywhere in my history where that has been a factor. But, we're also citizens and human beings, and we come to this office with a perspective on politics.
Well, I understand that, but I think your highest order should be to assuage fears of the people that voted you in and the people who opposed you in the election, that you can be fair, that justice can be blind. And frankly, if I were a politically active person in Island County and I was prosecuted, I would use that to appeal and say, look, you prosecuted me, this guy who hates my positions and my worldview, and I just don't know why you put yourself in your office and the citizens of Island County in the situation you do with all these posts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that were the case, if you committed a crime and then you tried to use that on appeal, you'd have to show some evidence that that was the case. And
all right.
And anyway,
I know you have a meeting to jump into. Greg, I really appreciate you taking the time.
People gathered outside my door here, and they keep looking in at me.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking
the time, Dory.
Island County Prosecutor Greg Banks. As always, I'd like to know what you think about all of this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. We have some breaking news just coming in to the Dory Monson Show. Fox News anchor Shepard Smith has just announced he is resigning from the network after more than 20 years. We're just getting audio. Audio fresh as a morning pancake griddle. What? Here he is.
So recently, I asked the company to allow me to leave Fox News. After requesting that I stay, they obliged. Under our agreement, I won't be reporting elsewhere, at least in the near future. But I will be able to see more of Gio and Lucia and our friends and family. Then we'll see what comes along. This is my last newscast here. Thank you for watching today and over the decades as I traveled to many of your communities and anchored this program, Studio B and Fox Report, plus endless marathon hours of breaking news. It's been an honor and my pleasure. Even in our currently polarized nation, it's my hope that the facts will win the day, that the truth will always matter, that journalism and journalists will thrive. I'm Shepard Smith, Fox News, New York.
So that's it. They announced it on his show this afternoon. What's interesting about that is he has become increasingly critical of President Trump. And as a result, President Trump has become increasingly critical of Fox News and has even been mentioning more, kind of fringe radical right networks like that One America News Network. Fox News just issued a statement, their president did. Shep is one of the premier newscasters of his generation, and his extraordinary body of work is among the finest journalism in the industry. His integrity and outstanding reporting from the field helped put Fox News on the map, and there's simply no better breaking news anchor. So,
and right now,
sounds very amicable. Yep.
Yesterday, Trump actually tweeted about him, said Shep Smith, Donna Brazile, and others at Fox News don't deliver for the U.S. anymore. It is so different than it used to be. Oh, well, I'm president.
Well, yeah, I know, because the president used to think of Fox as his network, and they have had a bunch of voices that he doesn't like. So it sounds like that is not behind it, because Shepard Smith said they asked him to stay. So we'll try to get more on that. Big Lead at 2 next.